Manhattan transfers. Somebody called Impact. Impact. An a cappella group.
Oh, wait.
One of my favorite genres. Well, none of you apparently were in North Seattle Christian Jazz Choir, or you would have appreciate the kind of work that goes into this.
Were you? Did you do a cappella stuff? Did you do the low stuff?
No, we weren't allowed to.
That's how it goes, by the way.
That is, yes. I was in rockapella.
Oh, wow.
We later made it big doing the Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego theme song.
Of course. Boy, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you.
No, but we also, if you think a cappella music and the Venn diagram overlap of people who like our show and people who have performed or are interested in a cappella is a pretty big overlap. So yeah. I'll tread lightly here.
Yes.
And I am myself somebody who did a cappella in, I guess this would have been early high school. We were an a cappella group that wasn't allowed to do non-Christian music.
Oh, wow.
So we would imagine a cappella. So we did Osigfuni Mungu, which is like an African, like a song in probably Swahili about God. We did a number of songs by the Bill Gaither Trio, a cappella Atais. We were like, what I'm trying to say is we were a less cool version of what you just heard.
Wow.
Like people think of a cappella as being a little non-self-aware, a little uncool. We would have killed to be pentatonics.
I was trying to think of who that
or whatever
a cappella,
you know what I mean?
Band that is like really huge right now or like is trying to, yeah. Pentatonics.
Welcome, everyone, to the dregs of the TBTL holiday shows. Here we are. It's the leavens. It's the bottom of the barrel. It's the last day of our TBTL's favorite things episodes. Here we are on a Friday. Luke Burbank here. That's Andrew Walsh over there.
Hello, that's me.
And Mr. Camaro Kev.
Thanks again for having me.
Stack of Dimes.
Thank you so much.
And our special guest in the back of the room, the voted least likely to want to be on this podcast. It's one.
That's my wife.
Carrie Beth Bolden, a.k.a. Willem Dafoe. Hi, babes.
Hi, guys.
Welcome. I got you a microphone.
I love this microphone. I was just admiring the font. It's like in a retro font. It says.
That thing is probably from the 70s.
Electric Voice is what the brand is.
Yeah.
Great Debbie Gibson song.
You'll see that now that you take a good look at that. And then when you're watching movies, especially from the 70s and 80s, and you see somebody doing a man on the street interview, they're often holding that. What's the number on that? That's an EV. Did it say the actual model? Well, this is. I'm glad I took us in this.
I want to say this. I don't want to. I'll buy us a little time.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be overly gendered with this, but I will just say my wife is an adorable person, and that microphone is an adorable microphone. I feel like it is the perfect microphone.
I love that
for you.
Mic.
I think the model number is 635A.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
that sounds model 635A. Okay, yeah.
Well, that's our show. Anyway, thanks, guys. We said it was the dregs.
Wait, what are you rocking over there, Luke? You got
RE20, of course.
RE20, right. Yeah, okay, so good. Sounds good.
So Electro Voice, what are you working on there, Camaro?
I don't know. I don't know. A Camaro, Sennheiser
I
some
in,
sort?
Audio Technica shotgun of some sort.
I like the hosts that always had those RE20s that were like gold plated.
Yes,
I think like Rush Limbaugh,
of course,
gold plated one
for the EIB network, excellence in broadcasting,
right.
Talent on loan from God. Oh yeah, talent on loan from God. I heard him the other day. This is just going to sound like sour grapes because my politics don't align with his any longer. But he's really he and Tom Likas, they don't sound like. Whatever it is we think they sound like. As Howard Stern's dad would say, I lost my timber. They have lost their timber.
Oh, yeah.
And I was listening to Rush. I was in a rental car, you know, somewhere, wherever I was for a job. And I was listening and I was like, this guy's decent for a local. I was like, oh, I'm listening to local conservative talk radio. But
yeah.
I was like, this guy's pretty good. Pretty good.
Right.
And then I was like, and then I heard that. Like that sounder.
That tone.
That tone. The EIB tone. And I was like, oh shit, this is Rush Limbaugh.
It's
right
just
now.
Ragged. His voice.
It's
is just
not.
Ragged.
It's just. Well, I mean, you know, he suffered profound hearing loss, yeah. likely as a result of prescription drug abuse, which I find the height of irony. And I think he's just getting older, and he really has lost his timbre. He just doesn't sound as kind of commanding as he once did.
Maybe God took his voice back.
it was on loan. Like, what part of loan don't you understand?
That is why we have her around, people.
Rush, I told you when you entered this contract. He was always kind of a puker, but now I think I know what you're saying. I think it probably has something to do with his hearing loss.
What do you mean a puker?
You know, he's got that puker thing, like that broadcast sort of thing.
Yeah.
Kevin will often use that in reference to like sports analysis.
Did you come up with that term?
No, I heard it. That's like
I'd never heard it before you said it, by the way.
Really?
And I haven't heard it since.
Wow. I heard it was like, that's what you call these guys that are like super broad. Like Marv Albert. Was it Marv? Who's the one that was?
Yeah,
those,
Jordan, Yosh, able to connect.
Yeah, Jordan, Yosh. You know that.
What
delivery.
About what's the guy? Who is the UFC guy that
he's
you
still watched? Going strong?
What's his name? Mike Gold?
No, yeah, well, Mike Goldberg, but the guy that's really known for Showtime Sports is Mauro Ranallo. And he's like, he is over the top. He's like this. Oh, my God. And he says all these things. He's got more kicks than a chorus line. Like, he says stuff like
that. You know,
he's
written all this stuff down.
All this stuff is written down. You could probably find a montage of his terrible sayings on YouTube or something. But, yeah.
Well, here we are doing the last of our favorite things. And on Monday, we'll be back with a brand new original show in real time. We will no longer be living inside that glass record from Superman 2 floating through space, unsure of where and when it is.
Yeah. The Forbidden Zone? What's that thing called? I believe it is.
Yeah. Is that the Forbidden Zone? Is that what?
Something like that.
Wait, the Forbidden Zone was in Planet of the Apes.
That's right. It's some sort of a zone. I'll look
it is.
It up.
Right, because let's see. General Zod, yeah. a.k.a. Peter Weisbach. Speaking of talent on loan
Phantom
from God.
Phantom Zone? Is it Phantom Zone?
General Zod and his hench people are trapped inside. Superman puts them inside that weird...
Phantom Zone.
The Phantom Zone. Good memory.
No, I looked it up.
I was saying good memory to Kevin to even be close. All right, so here we are doing the last of these shows, and the plan has been to talk about our favorite things, though. There was so much yesterday that we wanted to talk about with favorite gas station food. I thought maybe we could carry it over, and we could talk about anything else that strikes our fancy, and we can even touch in, as our friend Jessica would say, with the topic of the day, which shall be revealed here in just a few moments. Have we introduced ourselves? We have. Okay, good. That much is done. Let me just wrap up my contribution to yesterday's topic, which is my favorite gas station food is probably because – well, let me set it up by saying this. I am very big on, and I've talked on the show a lot about, if I'm going to eat bad for me food, I want to eat the bad for me food I want to eat. Mm-hmm. And most of the stuff in a gas station is not – It's not, for me, the highest level of enjoyment for bad for me food.
I would agree. I feel the same way.
So like a burger or a slice of pizza or anything off that heat lamp, maybe with the exception, Camaro, of those Crispitos. Those are as advertised. Those are better than anything you could get, in my mind, at a restaurant. But I don't eat – other than I'll grab a sleeve of peanuts or something that mm-hmm. I think is kind of – I don't know, a little bit better for me, I guess. Like, I'm not usually the one. I don't walk back with a bag of chips from the gas station. Mm-hmm. Because if I want to have that, I'd rather go to McDonald's or Taco Time and get, you know, French fries, tater tots, the whole thing. But what I will really go for in a gas station environment, and have picked these up from Yorkie's Market near our house many a time, I love old-fashioned donuts in the sealed box that were dropped off by somebody from – is it – you know, Gay's Bakery.
Yeah, I was going to say like Franz or France.
France. It's exactly the one. That's the one I was thinking.
Are these full-size donuts? I get in a dispute with my mom about it.
I mean, define full-size.
Well, first said gas station donuts, I pictured like one of the, again, a sleeve, like a tube of the white powdered one.
They're old-fashioned. So they're not, you know, like...
Just look up Franz old-fashioned donuts.
And how many come in a package when you buy a pre-package like that?
Six, maybe.
Okay.
And those donuts, I don't care, peace and love, I don't care about Top Pot.
Oh, okay.
I don't care about Voodoo Donuts in Portland. Sometimes, I'm in the Portland airport like 30 times a year now, and I see people carrying those pink Voodoo Donuts boxes back to wherever. I just want to just crane kick it. Just, I don't know why. I'm like, you're flying donuts back to Milwaukee. They're just donuts.
Yeah.
I know that it's like Elvis because it has peanut butter and bacon. Yeah. It's just, I feel bad for them because it's so precarious. Their people are carrying these donuts like, mm-hmm. I got to get these. It's well-intentioned. They want to give them to their friends. It's cute. I think that the kind of, what do you call it? I don't know. The fetishization of donuts in our country.
Yeah.
It does not speak to me. A donut is a donut is a donut. I will take one.
So
of
you don't think putting bacon on a donut is just like next level? Oh my God.
It might taste good and I wouldn't turn it down, but I will say that for me, those Franz donuts and some milk, I'm in heaven.
I can say that's not a go-to for me, but every time they're somewhere and there's milk around, I was like, but someone's got them around. I was like, well, I guess they're here. I'll have one. They done knock my D in the dirt every time. I always go, why do I always sleep on these? These are great.
And I could absolutely eat 12 of them in a sitting. If
JD loves them, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, John loves them. Yeah.
JD and my wife share some kind of genealogy because they're both rail thin and they both have never thought one day in their life, is this on my approved diet? Meanwhile, it's all I think about and I'm pleasantly plump.
Is that true, Carrie? Do you ever think about like the health implications of your snacking?
It's not that I've never thought about it. There have been periods of time in my life where I tried to be healthier, eating healthier, exercising more, but no, it's something that kind of stresses me out the older I get because there's no good way of saying it that doesn't make me sound like a douche, but like I just don't have to metabolistically, I don't have to worry about that. So it unfortunately has this bad side effect of you don't have to worry about it. So
basically the lady has zero willpower because she has never had to have willpower.
When it comes to food.
Yeah, when it comes to food, because
when it comes to putting up with husbands, massive willpower.
I make up for it in that category.
That's where it all gets played
tenfold.
Out.
Yeah. So I'll probably be dead soon. Or die of some.
What a beautiful corpse, though. Honestly,
Anita's
that's my wife.
The same way.
Yeah, yes, Anita is the same.
True.
Way.
There is some similarities there. Nobody loves your wife. Your wife's kind of like she thinks about food. At least as far as I can tell, so much as far as the perfect French dip,
yeah.
The perfect
wing, popcorn,
the perfect popcorn. Yep. It's all this stuff, and it's got to be exactly so. And if we'll sometimes have these text chains going around where someone will mention, "Oh, I had this," and she'll like put it on the list.
Yeah.
I've got to try that. Like she really experiences the world through food, and yet she's a very beautiful woman, and she's very like slender. It's amazing.
So let me ask: do you think that the check's going to come due at some point? Like, do you think there's going to be an age that you hit, and it's going to be like, "Oh, my superpowers are gone." Like now, whenever I have this stuff, it's I can see it. I mean, that's the thing with that sort of stuff is like, if it really, I don't know, like you, like our friend Jess, she's like, she swears and that if she has carbs that her body will instantly balloon up, right? And so I think if you have that sort of visual thing, like you look in the mirror and you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have had that. Like, or I knew last week when I didn't watch my shit, I knew I was going to swell up or whatever. But I think like not having that, like you're saying, you don't even think about it, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's why I make the joke that if it comes due, it'll probably just be in the form of some heart attack or terrible internal cancer. But I don't think it's going to
knock wood. I'm saying knock wood for heart attack.
Right.
Yeah, I don't. For whatever reason, it doesn't play out like that.
Well, what is if you're walking into a gas station? And actually, I don't see you eat a lot of gas station food because that's the other thing about your relationship with food is very untroubled. Like you don't obsess over things like I do. Because you're just not that obsessed with it. And also, you'll get fast food, but then you don't eat all of it. That's why I have to eat it over the garbage can later in the backyard while you judge me through the window.
Oh, yeah. I love that story.
You actually don't know about that?
That really happened.
You don't. I know you don't eat a lot of gas station food, babes, but if you were hungry and you walked in, what would you go for?
Yeah, that's why I was a little stressed when you asked this question because I don't have an answer. It's not something that appeals to me. Like Kevin was saying, though, I was my radar was going off when you were talking about the small town little
heat
store.
Lamp food. Yeah.
Heat lamp. There was this place when I was a kid called the Liberty Bell, and it was this little convenience store, and we would ride our bikes there, and they had the little heat lamp section. And for some reason, the Crispitos were definitely high on the list, but also the burritos were kind of like deep fried the same way. And those were a rare treat.
Funny thing about the burritos she brings up, they always had two. There was the barbecue burrito, and then there was the bean and cheese burrito.
Barbecue burrito.
And, and the barbecue burrito was in a sleeve that just said BBQ snack on it.
Did it have barbecue sauce in it?
Yeah, it had barbecue sauce in like hunks of beef, I guess. Uh-huh. But the other one was always bean and cheese.
Yep.
And that was like bean and cheese burrito or BBQ snack. And I'm like, it's clearly the same package. It's a burrito.
But
like,
did you at any point order the barbecue burrito?
I ate it plenty. It's terrible.
No.
Sweet. I mean, she. It sounds like classic. You didn't have a thing with any of that food in there. But like as a kid, man.
Do you guys remember? Do you guys remember? Did we all have this experience where when you were a kid and you started buying your own food with your money?
Yeah.
Like not just candy, but I'm talking about like Peter Williams and I used to shovel sidewalks to get money to get Pizza Hut pizza. And you would just like, you know what I mean? Like it was so great because then you could just eat all of the shitty fast food you want as long as you could pay for it.
Yeah. I remember having garage sales and, you know, making like $40 and thinking I was just rich and taking like a friend to Saucy's Pizza, which also had an arcade attached to it, and just thinking that was, we're just living the life.
The places I lived early on did not have a McDonald's or a Burger King or any of that stuff. So
Winlock and what?
Winlock, and then even when I moved to Lake Stevens, they had a Safeway, and they had a place called the Villa Lounge that was like part of the Village restaurant. And then eventually they got a single McDonald's, but it was still far enough away to where it wasn't like, I'm going to ride my bike to McDonald's like early on when I moved there. But I didn't have that. Like, so like when you say like you'd save up money to go to Burger or to like Jack in the Box, right. I think that was your deal.
Yeah.
I didn't have that stuff. So it was a real treat because we would go into town if my parents were like, you can go to we're going to Burgerville today or something. It was like, this is amazing. Like that was a real treat for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Winlock had like Papa Aldo's pizza when I was there, and they had kind of like a couple of arcade games there, but like we didn't have any sort of real chain fast food anywhere around like that accessible when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. No, same deal, really. I mean, I remember the first intersection.
They didn't have
a
sink you could stand over and eat sausage, right?
Yeah, my dad would bring home. We had four sinks, one for each member of the family, and my dad would bring home sausage, and we'd all stand over our own sink. So on Fridays, we'd switch sinks. It was fun. Now the closest
you'd
thing,
eat fish over the sink on Fridays.
That's true. Do you know that we did? Like we were the classic Catholic family. The only time we actually would bring home bags of fast food for dinner that I can remember was on Fridays. Like we would eat every now and then. My mom would, you know, go through the drive-thru at McDonald's or something for me and my sister for lunch or something. But the only time that fast food was our dinner meal was during Lent. We would get the filet of fishes from McDonald's.
That's why they were created.
Yeah, I know. And it was a franchisee who did it, right?
I actually met someone. I didn't meet them, but I actually got to deploy that information to someone who didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Last night in the current time stream we live in, Carrie and I's friend Jenny, because it's not yet Christmas as we record this, we were at Carrie's work Christmas party, and Carrie was helping kind of clean up. So Jenny and I went back to Jenny's place. We were all crashing, and we went by McDonald's. And I ordered something there, which was alluded to during the last episode. How about this? Let's take a break. Come back. I'll tell you about that. And her million-dollar idea that we were debating, which is where the whole fish sandwich Lent thing came up. So stay with us. It's TBTL. Back in a moment. It's R.E.M., right?
It is.
It almost sounds like it'd be They Might Be Giants.
I know.
This was a period of time register. Where they used to just band swap.
Yeah.
They'd all come. They put all their guitar picks in a bowl.
Yeah.
And then you were either a They Might Be Giant or an R.E.M.
It was a very exciting time.
Very different time in our nation's history. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to TBTL, last of our TBTL's favorite things episodes. Last night, again, in the current world we live in, time-wise, my friend and Carrie's friend Jenny and I were driving back from this party. We're going back to her house, and we swung through the McDonald's because I was very hungry. And even though I've been trying to not eat a lot of fast food, I've also been trying to not be so rigid with myself about my rules around everything. In other words, just being like, yeah, I'm going to try to eat less of something. Historically for me, what I do is I'm all or nothing. And so then my modes are either monastic or totally hedonistic. It's either I'm not eating meat and not drinking, or I'm eating, as they say, all the meat, drinking all the alcohol, mm-hmm. gambling all the money. A single tear just ran down Carrie's face when she heard gambling all the money. It's a lot of bad memories.
Oh, that was more than
That's
a single
wife.
Tear.
So how many tears makes a torrent? But anyway, so what I'm trying to do is just be a little bit more like, yeah, I'm trying to make better decisions, but I'm not creating this super either or thing where once I decide to do something that's not in the rules, now it's just floodgates. So I was like, yeah, I'm trying to eat less processed food, but if I want to splurge and have some McDonald's fries, why not? And so we got in line, and I started to wonder, would a McDonald's Big Mac minus the burger patties, because another thing is I've been really not eating very much meat lately, would a McDonald's Big Mac minus the patties really taste that different? And so purely as an experiment, not because I don't even like Big Macs. I just thought the Big Mac is the thing that has the most non-burger going on, if that
Can
makes
I,
sense.
Can I break in and
please
and say that earlier that night at the party, I was the one that said a Big Mac would probably not taste that different without the patties, and you said I should try that.
You know, Carrie, it was a wild night. I'd been drinking.
Do you want me to kill the
remember.
Mic?
I can just kill her mic. Yeah, thank you. Could you please turn Willem Dafoe's mic off, please? Okay, thank you, babe. That was a good suggestion by you. So it all came – you must have started – you planted the seed then, because it bloomed into a tree of strange ordering as I got into the drive-thru line and asked the lady – I was like, does anyone ever order a Big Mac with no patties? And she was like a long silence. She's like, I mean, we can make that. And I was like, yeah, great. I'll have that. Then I'll have fries. And then I was in full on experimental mode. I was like, and can I also have two cheeseburgers? No cheeseburger. Extra cheese. Hmm. And she was like, hold on.
That's just like a cheddar melt or something. Or,
yeah,
or
I was curious. I was curious. And Jenny kept saying, or Frank kept saying, the lady was very – she was not that confused by the Big Mac, no meat. She was very confused by the cheeseburger, no meat.
Extra cheese.
She was like, I don't understand. I was like, I was Jack Nicholson in Five Easy Pieces.
Oh my God.
I was like, you have cheese. You have buns. You make a cheeseburger. You take the patty out. You give it to me. She could not wrap her mind around it. And Jenny kept going, why don't you just take the burger out yourself? And I was like, because I know what's going
to
happen.
The cheese is going
to stick. Cheese is going to stick to the burger. Yeah. Then I'm going to have nothing. So I talked the lady through it. I really recognized that I was doing a bizarre thing, which is ordering a cheeseburger without what is thought of as the essential component. We go through, for the record, by the way, and spoiler alert, cheeseburgers totally had the meat in there, totally could not get the cheese off of the meat. So I skipped those, and I'm glad I ordered a bunch of stuff because
Carrie,
those were,
did you eat those or did you just
I wasn't them. Around for those. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was right. back at the party
oh, okay.
still.
Just emotionally. She was there okay. physically.
So nobody. So these went totally.
No, but I did offer you the cheeseburgers
you did,
when
yeah.
you got home later. And what I didn't tell you is that they were in the garbage, but they were in the bag in the garbage, which could be a whole other topic. Right, yes. Can you eat something? I would eat something that was in a bag in the garbage.
Yeah, because it's the burger's wrapped
would you
inside
eat,
a bag.
Would you have a problem eating something that was in the garbage if it was in a bag in the garbage?
I think so. I just See, think psychologically I
That's why I didn't tell you that part. Now, had you said, yes, I want those cheeseburgers, I would have snuck into the kitchen, pulled them out of the garbage, pulled them out of the bag, and just told you, no, they were on the counter.
It also really depends on what else is in the garbage, right? Like, did you just empty the cat litter?
Oh,
you know, like, oh, well, first of all, I don't empty the cat litter and leave it in the house. That goes directly out. But I mean, I really think that the actually, it's not
that's
just
that's my
the state
third
of the
favorite
food.
Gas station food, by the way. Gently used cat litter.
It's, you got to think about what is the state of the garbage as well. Where Absolutely. Is the garbage? Is it public garbage?
Well, so the cheeseburgers were a total loss, which is fine because the Big Mac was at Carrie, as you had theorized. Was not that different. I mean, it wasn't as good as the real deal, but it was not. I would say you're getting 60-70% of the overall experience. Now, a couple problems. One, our friend's dog Linus got on the table and ate a third of my weird Big
what?
Mac thing.
You had meat product that you were throwing away, and the dog is going to eat your non-meat.
Well, this
specialty.
Was not. It wasn't. That wasn't the decision. The decision tree there. I was eating my weird meatless thing, and then I like turned my back for a second. Oh, and Rudy, for all of her bad behavior, does not you climb on top of tables. This mm-hmm. dog Linus will do that. So I had to then rip off. I had to try to figure out what point the dog's tongue had touched, and then just rip that all off. And I tried to err on the side of, you know, no tongue contact. gave her the rest of it, which is really – or him, which is really rewarding the bad behavior. But I ate it. It was fine. It tasted okay. So that's really the end of that story. But I did – when I mentioned this, I think, Camaro, to you, you were like, you realize what a nutcase you are in that for much of my adult life, I've been – give me all the patties – and no bun. And now I'm like, give me all the bun and no patty.
You've swung the polar opposite.
I get it. I know. It's ridiculous. And I don't know if it makes any – I will say this. The one different thing now about what I'm doing is I'm not making decisions based on a question of carbs or what am I going to weigh. I am – with the McDonald's thing notwithstanding, I'm trying to make decisions based on what's a way to eat a little bit less bad food. And if that works, great. And if it doesn't – I've been – I would – I even though it's – still weird, I feel like it's somehow in its own universe a little healthier than my other things. I guess we shall see.
I will say, just because we've talked about having non-meat burgers on the show quite a bit back in the day, and I know that that's kind of a little bit away from what you're doing. You don't want the processed food.
Well, so that's the other thing. Complicating it is like, I don't if I'm trying to eat stuff that's not just a bunch of weird chemicals, eating something that's made to taste exactly like bacon but is made out of some other reconstituted thing – also is eating a bunch of weird chemicals. They're just not animal-based.
But I will say I finally tried that place across the street in the Whole Foods from me. I was telling you this off the air, called Next Level Burger. And it was just kind of there, and I've been meaning to try it. And God damn, it was good. It was a really good burger. I'm thinking about going back today. I'm also just really hungry.
Carrie Beth, would you hit the fake burger joint on the way out of town?
Well, we have a little guy to get back to.
A little doggy?
Remember?
Yeah, I know. Our nephew, a 1,000-year-old woodland nymph who's lived in the woods since
all that picture, by the way.
I know, right?
I love that picture.
That guy, that's who we're going to take care of. I know, I just meant quick. Okay, fine. We'll hit the McDonald's. Two meatless Big Macs, and then we're going.
How does McDonald's not have a vegetarian alternative?
Thank you. Tyra Banks' gift.
Yeah,
I was clapping. Or Wendy Williams.
That is weird. It seems like it's the same thing.
Okay, so this is how the whole fish sandwich thing came up with our friend Jenny. I said, as we pulled through, I was like, how is it that McDonald's doesn't have a non-meat option? Just in the back, a stack of frozen fake burger patties that you just throw in where the real one is, just for people, forget
there's
vegetarians.
Gotta be enough.
People
throw one of those hash brown things in the middle of a
bowl. Oh,
man, that
wait
is
a second. Whoa. Carol, hold my call.
Whoa.
You just did something that, to my heart, Carrie. That is the greatest idea I've ever had.
That's a hash brown burger.
I would eat that right now.
I'd eat that too. Wow. Especially with melted cheese on top.
Okay, well, that's the new order.
Whoa.
Okay, so you have hash browns. You have burgers. So anyway, I was saying to our friend Jenny, I was like, why don't they just – this is so silly. She goes, well, it's McDonald's. Like, you know, you're at McDonald's. You know you're eating crap. I'm like, yeah, but there are people for religious reasons, for health reasons, for a whole bunch of reasons – it's not like they don't want to eat McDonald's food. They just don't eat meat. And I'm like, it would be such – it's such a low impact on McDonald's.
Yeah, it seems weird.
And then she was saying, yeah.
Most burger joints do, right?
At this point.
I don't know about like Burger King or whatever, but like there seems to be – like Subway's got a veggie patty. If you go to Red Robin, they've got some sort of a veggie
patty. Oh,
dude,
I've life hacked that Red Robin situation.
Really?
For our listeners out there. I did this one time, but it worked. You get the veggie burger, veggie patty, but you put it on the Tavern Double Burger. Now, the Tavern Burger usually has two patties. You go one veggie patty on what would normally be the Tavern Burger situation, extra cheese. The woman who brought it out was like, what is this? I said, well, let me explain it to you. She goes, that sounds like the most amazing thing ever. And I was like, yes, it was. Ate it. Got a couple fry refills. I was right as rain. Mm. So, but yeah, like they would. It just seems like you don't have to recalibrate the ovens and all whatever the assembly line is at the McDonald's. You just have also some meatless pucks you throw
it
on.
Really
I bet you
sense.
They've had that in the past. I bet you they've experimented with it or something.
Well, I said like that could be our new business, some kind of vegetarian drive-through. And that was when the whole did you know how the fish sandwich got started? Of course, because of Lent. So, all right, that was that. We have by my clock 55 seconds left in this episode of the show. Should we finally figure out what today's favorite thing topic is?
Yes.
Favorite sound.
Well, it wasn't that thing you just played.
Favorite sound. How about we all just, we don't even, like we each get 20 seconds. Favorite sound.
My own voice.
Ugh. You stole mine.
Yeah.
Wow. Really out of energy.
Can you play some of the thinking music? Some of that.
Oh yeah. Thank you.
That Jeopardy music
that only you and I can hear.
Oh, that's right. It's going like this. Dun, da, 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 da. That way the headphoneless people know.
Got mine.
Me too. Boom, boom. That was the timpani at the end.
Yep. Okay.
We
say the same time.
I'm going
3, 2. Smoke detector with a low battery.
We moved into this apartment somewhat recently. Still not to the 1 year mark. Love this thing. We love living, believe it or not, on a pretty busy street. Don't hear a lot of noise from the street usually. But sometimes late at night, if really late, on one of the nights that I've stayed up way, way too late, Genevieve's asleep. There's a hush over thing, especially in the summertime when the windows are open. A street cleaner will whoosh across the street outside of our house. And it is so calming. It reminds me of where I am. I love my neighborhood. It reminds me of kind of outside, but it also feels like gives me a little bit of that feeling I used to have in college when I was stayed up so late that Bob Edwards' voice was already coming on the radio. Mm-hmm. And it just, I don't know, there's something special about that.
And you know something is getting cleaned.
And yeah. Something is getting cleaned, exactly. Right. No, I just love the sound of the, you can hear it coming, and it's about a 30-second loop, or not loop, but a 30-second experience. It starts way down there. You hear it. It gets really close, and then it goes away and it never comes back.
For some reason, that reminds me, speaking of our friend Jenny, when Carrie and I first moved to Bellingham, we didn't have a place to live yet, so we were staying with Jenny, and she lived at this time on this street where I thought there was a helipad nearby. Oh. Because two or three times a day I would hear this helicopter taken off, and I was just kind of like, I didn't think through, like, why would you have a helipad in this neighborhood? And also, why would the helicopter take off that much? I just thought, I don't know. It's a news chopper. It's the Coast Guard. One day, Carrie and I were in the backyard. Probably Rudy was out there. And I just said, there goes that damn helicopter again. And you said,
That's a train that's right across the street.
Oh.
It's like Burlington Northern or whatever. There's tracks. You could see the train.
Oh.
It's like goes along the water in Bellingham.
It shakes the houses along that street.
Oh. I just thought it was a loud helicopter.
Yeah.
And I visualized this helicopter every single time. I would say a favorite sound for me, it's interesting that we're both going with something industrial. I love the sound of a lawnmower in the distance because reminds me of spring baseball and fresh cut grass, that whole thing. I remember being a kid living on 76th Street, same place where I once wandered trying to talk about the Seahawks beating the Miami Dolphins, that same house. My parents moved. When we were in Seattle, first place we lived was by Northgate, actually not very far at all from where Newman used to live. And then we moved to the Green Lake area. We lived on 76th Street in this little house. They tried to sell it to my parents, I believe, for $72,000.
Oh my God.
Out of their price range at the time. So we then moved one block over to 77th Street to a different rental where we lived until I moved out to go to college. My dad to this day mourns the decision to not pull it together to buy the house for $72,000.
My parents had the same sort of situation in the rental that we had in Lake Stevens when we first moved there. It had like acreage with it, and it was like, can't remember, it was like $100,000. I don't even know how much it was.
And I just
cheap.
But when we I remember the 76th Street house before we moved to 77th Street. I remember just as a kid, I have this really strong sense memory of it being a Saturday in the spring. Mariners are playing preseason baseball, and hearing lawnmowers, because there's like that first nice weekend in the spring where like all the mostly dads get out there and are like, okay, let's do this. That smell and that sound is just very comforting to me. So that'd be my favorite.
Yeah,
song.
I love that. And associating with baseball as well, I have fond memories of living on Capitol Hill, and sometimes I swear I could. No, maybe it was my imagination, but I swear I could hear the trains going by Safeco Field. I'm sorry, I meant the helicopters going by Safeco Field.
I bet you can sometimes.
While you were listening to the
game. I bet you anything you can.
We talked about this on TBTL once. It was a great mystery. When I was living on Capitol Hill, when I'd first moved back to Seattle, I would hear the trains down on the water in my apartment loudly in the middle of the night.
I know I did on First Hill.
Yeah.
I know it. Like, the first time I hear it, I was like, whoa, I can hear
how
a train.
How is that possible?
I think it's got to be like just right. Like,
it has to do with the atmosphere and the sound bouncing, and it depends on like clouds and things like that. If you get the right atmospheric conditions, sound will travel. We actually had someone on the show. We interviewed somebody. I forget what city department he was from, but he was like the funniest, if I'm remembering this right. He was like the funniest, like, city. You guys aren't going to be able to hear this. This would be for Andrew. But we asked him what he thought the sound was, and he said he thought it was the yellow-bellied nargilee.
Oh, right, yeah.
I think it's the mating call of the sow-bellied nargilee.
The mating call of the sow-bellied nargilee. That was a person who worked, I think, for the city of Seattle. When we called him, we're like, how am I hearing this sound? He goes, I think it's the mating call of the yellow, the sow-bellied nargilee. Anyway, that is totally a thing. Carrie Beth, favorite sound?
I'm sure there's probably one.
Sound of me weeping as I watch you eat fast food and not gain any weight. That's your favorite sound?
No. Yeah. Just off the top of my head, I think I have to go with... Can I pick two?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
One, I think, is just the snap of a campfire or a fireplace that pops
up. Crackling, yeah.
Because it just... Yes. Whether you're outside enjoying a campfire or you're inside, it's... probably a cold, cozy, like, winter day. It's always kind of just representative of that feeling of being, I don't know, cozy and comfortable and content and
or if
peaceful.
You're burning down somebody's house. Or
really had it coming. Just maybe, pyro. Maybe it's Andre Rison from the Atlanta Falcons and your T-Boss. Or whichever a TLC member burned down his house.
Or that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Left eye.
Yeah. I think this one is just because it warms my heart so much. Our cat, Olive, is not a particularly meowy cat. And I've had a lot of cats throughout my life growing up and such. And she's just such a little weirdo. And it's like every time she comes in the house or she can't see us, she does this like one or two little meows that we have jokingly said, kind of talked about that we... feel like she's saying, guys, like, where are you?
Right.
And it does sound like this little, like helpless yeah. little meow.
And what's strange is Will have been in the room with her.
Yeah.
We will leave the room and then she will be, or she'll, you know what I mean? It's like, it isn't like she comes home and we're not there. It's like she's been with us in the previous 45 seconds. And she goes from that to, guys.
But it's the only time she ever makes any like meowing sound, so it's just the cutest thing ever.
My cat won't shut up this morning.
Yeah, that torbitude. I love that torbitude.
This morning, her new kick on the weekends is to start saying, I want something to eat at like 7 in the morning.
Yep. Oh, and that's late for my cat.
Oh, well, she usually, during the work week, it's 9 because it's right when I'm leaving for work that she gets it. So, and usually on the weekend, she's like, eh. Like, no, ain't no thing, because I know, like, at 9 I'll get it. But I don't know what her deal is, but this morning drove me nuts, man, for, like, a good 45 minutes scratching things and meowing.
Mm. I love your cat so much. That your cat is kind of what made me think, like, when Carrie was like, we should get a cat, I was like, well, Manolo is such a fun cat that I was like, okay. And that's called torbitude, right?
That's what I've been told, yeah.
Did you give us your sound, Camaro?
I didn't. It took me a minute, but I had it. None of you guys inspired me, although it seems like it will, because we're all choosing this kind of like weird outside sort of noise. I mean,
it's not,
I know,
like a mother's lullaby or anything. It's all like,
no, it's all
a Zamboni.
Mine is, and I know because this just happened recently, is when I know like it's a weekend and I want tomorrow to be a lazy day. Perhaps I may have imbibed a little too much. And I always like it when I wake up and I can hear the rain starting to fall on the roof. It's like everything's quiet except you can just hear the start of the rain. Mm-hmm. And then I think, oh man, I'm not going to feel guilty at all about staying inside, playing a video game, watching a 3D movie, doing whatever.
Exactly.
Because I don't want to do a goddamn thing today.
Yes.
So that's my favorite.
That's a perfect way of wrapping today's show up, because we are going into the weekend as people are getting access to this episode. We're wrapping up a Friday edition of the show, and I want to thank everybody for listening the last couple of weeks to these holiday specials. Camaro, thank you for being here.
Thanks, man. I love this every year.
I know. It's a tradition like no other. Actually, that's not true. It's It's like we do it every single year, but it's really fun having when he like the Masters. They always say a tradition like no other.
Mm-hmm.
But sure. but this is something we've been doing for how many years? Having you as part of our special program.
Oh wow, going back now.
Yeah, it's been probably like I don't know, like four or five. Yeah, 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Thanks.
It's really fun having you here. And absolutely. Carrie Beth, thank you for being here too, sweetie.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, we got.
I live here, so
yeah. Oh, Andrew, thank you.
Yeah, too. No problem.
Appreciate it. It's nice.
I tried
you
to leave. You wouldn't let me.
Yeah, I know. Okay, that's it.
We got to thank people, though, right?
Oh, yeah, we do. Of course. I thanked everybody here in the room, but I forgot about the St. Lunatics.
I got to put some Nelly on here because I know he's talking about a different kind of street sweeper in this song, a much more violent kind of street sweeper. But you know, he says street sweeper.
I didn't know that.
Whenever I think of the street cleaner going down the street, I think of this song. He's talking about drive-bys, though, I believe.
Oh, really? Well, let's not let that dampen our enthusiasm for these donors of the day who have been very generous. Grace Marshall of Mercer Island, Washington. Christine Mello of Wiley, Texas. Craig Olson of Stanwood, Washington. Dan Patterson of Hoquiam, Washington. Christine Pernula of Renton, Washington. And Monica Regimbal from...
What?
Burbank, Washington.
Burbank. It was kismet.
Carrie and I's, this is the city that Carrie and I recently founded. It's going very well. It's us and Monica over there in Burbank, Washington. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of TBTL. We'll see you back here on Monday with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.